Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission, to explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
We are back with David Zuniga, founder of Tactical Civics, a battle plan for reinstituting the founder's original vision of self-governance. I invite you to visit their website, tacticalcivics.com. Very important. This is an interview. We'll be discussing a lot of things. Go to their website, investigate, tacticalcivics.com. David Zuniga, welcome as a guest on Freedom Forum Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. Your setup was so perfect, so cogent. You said it all, actually. But my first book 15 years ago was called This Bloodless Liberty. And I've proposed ever since then that by the grace of God, we're living in the beginning of the best time in American history. Believe it or not, we are just about to reach the most amazing time in American history. And I'll try to explain in the rest of our time together, Dan, why I can make that assertion.
We're talking with David Zuniga, the founder of Tactical Civics. He has a battle plan for reinstituting the founding fathers' original vision of self-government. We have been talking about self-governance. We've talking about that he has been, Tactical Civics has been planting chapters all around the country in many different counties. 700 county chapters as of this time. So, David, I think it's a good time to talk. And by the way, I do want to remind everyone, the website you need to go to is tacticalcivics.com. All that information you need is there. Join up. Get a lot of the educational material. We've talked about a lot of that and the basis for what Tactical Civics is doing. But how about, David, if we talk about the actual plan of what you want to accomplish when you have enough chapters planted in the country?
Okay.
How do you go about it?
Okay, Dan, can I quickly finish talking about what I was just doing is laying out when you join what you should expect?
Sure.
Can I do that? Okay.
Absolutely.
So you're a new member, you join. If there's no member, if there's no chapter yet in your county, you're going to be the chapter founder because you're the first person to join. You're kind of sticking a proverbial Tactical Civics flag in the ground in your county and saying, okay, we're here. And so you start learning the material in our training center. We have daily Zoom classes in each time zone for anybody to drop in at any chapter. So for instance, the main book we use right now, one of my newest books, is called The Great We Set, like you said, Dr. Dan. The Great We Set is a bunch of thematic standalone essays. So every chapter, you can just jump into any one of the chapters and start there. So when you're joining a Zoom group and you say, oh no, they're working on chapter 15 and I'm not starting, go ahead and join anyway. Just get in that group and just listen and start working on chapter 15. You'll see, because once you get to the end of the book, they start over on chapter one again. So they're going on all the time. So we've got this constant training in the main book. We've got several other books. I'll talk about them in a minute. But reading those four main books takes months for most people. Now, some retired people who are big readers, voracious about their reading. They can read the three most important books in a week or less. But most people will take months to get through the main books. Each of our books, you will not find anything like them anywhere else in the bibliography of America today. We promise. The only reason I write a book is if nothing like it exists and it needs, we need it, I write it. Otherwise, I don't. So our team of orienteers, then, when you're learning all this stuff, we have this team of people, almost 100 people now. They're, we call them orienteers. They bring each new member through a two-part orientation. So you're reading my book, The Great We Set, and they'll tell you to do what we call the 21-day challenge. So each day for 3 weeks in a row, 21 days, kind of like a, you know, new workout regimen or something, you call or you email or you text or somehow or another, you contact one person a day for 21 days, even, you know, online friend or whatever. And you tell that person about our solution. And what you're doing by doing that is you're learning it. By talking about it to others, you're learning what Tactical Civics is. And so we have a two-page little outline that has the whole thing in just two pages. And so you can work off of that. So, but during those 2-3 weeks, what also starts happening in your mind is you start building your own story in your head. You say you're able to tell people how you found this, why it was important to you, etc. So we call it feel, felt, found. You know, you tell the person, that's exact, I know how you feel, and that I felt that way myself, but then I found Tactical Civics. So we call it feel, felt, found. And once you empathize with people like that, they go, you know, you let them talk. They're always angry. They're always frustrated. You know how it is today in America. And so you show them, I know I felt just like that. And look what I found. And so after 21 days of doing that, you're ready to start having seminars. And you can have one a month. You can have one per quarter. You can have one a week if you can do it. But once you're a bigger group, you can usually do one a month. Right now, we're holding about 65 seminars each month, coast to coast. By next month, it'll probably be 75 a month. But so a lot of Americans are learning about Tactical Civics. They're learning, you know what? There really is a full spectrum solution, but it's going to take the rest of our lives. And you can't give up on this. It's your problem. It's my problem. Don't look to Washington, D.C. They're the problem. They're the criminals. We have to arrest them. We can't wait for them to arrest themselves. Never going to happen. So you start working on your own story, and then we tell you to limit it to 10 minutes. And so then you have a seminar, and we give you everything for the seminar. We tell you how to hold your seminar, where to hold it, and all that. And so then you start being the go-to person in your county who really knows how to save America, and people get really excited about you and start inviting you to things and start calling you and asking you, hey, can we, you know, so you really start changing your piece of America. This is really cool. This, it gets in your blood and you just, wow, it, I don't know how to explain it, but so we're only trying to get half of 1% of American people. Okay. But that's 340 bit. Wow. That's 1.7 million people. Can you imagine a force of 1.7 million Americans who are educated? They have our powerful Constitution in hand that nobody else on earth has. We have a decentralized, trained, educated, supported, branded, totally organized citizen force that large, all operating on the same mission profile for the rest of our lives. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine finally taking responsibility to pursue these criminal targets and perpetrators at every level of government? I'm talking about from school boards to Washington, D.C., including corrupt judges, corrupt DAs, corrupt sheriffs, corrupt police officers. You know, so they're and we'll get into that if you want next. We can get into grand jury.
I think it's important to know that we're talking with David Zuniga of Tactical Civics. We've talked about a lot of things so far, David. It's been an incredible discussion. But I do think it's time that we get down to the practical parts of the plan. Once you've established your army of believers, so to speak, and you've really, in a very graphic way, you've told us how to build, slowly but surely build, supporters who are articulate, able to discuss the whys, the feel, felt, and found way of approaching people. All of this is incredibly important and really, really clever and important. But now that once you've established this, what are the steps that you want to take to save our constitutional republic?
Okay, so that's next in our mission sequence. That's phase two. So phase one was building a network that's so big that the other side looks and says, "Oh no, how do we attack that? We got 3,000 nodes across America, and they're filling with American people who know the Constitution and who are, you know, so it's going to scare them, and that's very good. We'll talk about that in a minute. So." Our mission sequence. Okay. Once we reach critical mass, once we're ready in 7 counties in 7 states. So we've got 49 and we'll add one extra maybe in one of the states. Pennsylvania is going like gangbusters right now, maybe in Pennsylvania. So we'll end up with 50. So we want a trench of 50 counties all going at the same time and pushing on our phase two. And that's the grand jury ordinance and the militia ordinance. But we have to have all of the network ready, at least 1,500 counties or so, ready to go to scale immediately. So we're not there yet. We're not ready to pull the trigger on phase two. We're not anywhere near there. But that's when we push through our county grand jury and militia ordinances in those 50 counties all at once within days of each other so we can make national news. And, of course, when that happens, you know what's going to happen. All of the major news, you know, the Marxist and other demonic forces are going to attack us full force. They're going to jump all over our case. And, you know, and so that's going to alert millions more Americans to our existence. They're going to say, "Hey, Tactical Civics, I hadn't heard of that." And so we're waiting. We're hoping to get thrown into that briar patch, but not until we're ready. So that's why we have to build our numbers first, train the members first, so we know what we're talking about. So we're not at phase two yet. So we try to keep everybody working on phase one until we have that whole network and until we have lots of people learning. So, all right. So think about this, all right? First thing, grand jury ordinance. That's the first one we put up in a county meeting. We don't do militia first. We do the grand jury ordinance first. So we approach this board, the county board with, "Look, the authority of we the people to investigate crimes when you impanel a grand jury, that authority is almost unlimited in our system of law." I wrote a small book. It's a green one. It's called Grand Jury Awake. And I walked the reader through a little grand jury history. It originated in the year 997 AD. That's how old grand jury is in Western rule of law. And I show you how you get a grand jury impaneled. What happens if the judge doesn't want to impanel it? How you do each of these things, who can serve, how long you serve, all these things. And then I give the rules for all of the 50 states as to what's the size of the grand jury panel. What is a quorum in your state? What do you need for leadership? All of the rules. So it's a great little handbook and it's small. It's about 100 pages. So it includes our proposed model county grand jury ordinance. So it's all in there. Everything you need is in there. So that what you're trying to do is get your county board to establish on its website a web page or web pages that allows citizens to sign up to serve on grand juries that are yet to be impaneled and to allow citizens to submit potential criminal presentments to a grand jury panel through the county clerk. Because those are two things. Already California, for years now, for 40 years, over 25 California counties are already doing these two things on their county websites. You're able to sign up to serve on grand jury, and you're able to submit potential presentments to grand juries. But everywhere else in the country, you don't have this. Imagine California is actually the bellwether on that. So they're doing a lot of stuff that we don't like, but still. So anyway, that's in that little book, Grand Jury Awake. I cover the late Justice Scalia, Antonin Scalia, his amazing ruling in a case called U.S. versus Williams, and Scalia always did this. He loved to teach history in his rulings. And he explains, we didn't institute grand jury in the Constitution. We just acknowledge it because it already, like I told you a minute ago, it predates the Constitution by almost 800 years. The grand jury was already there when so it's the people's institution that's always been independent of the rules and the directions of prosecutors and the judges. Judges can't tell the grand jury what to do. The only thing the judge does, according to Justice Scalia, is they impanel that panel. Once that's done, the judge has to bow out and not stick his head back in that room. You know, if you go look at your county courthouse, notice the grand jury has its own chambers, just like the judge. Says grand jury on the door, and you can't go in there, so now once you're impaneled, your inquest panel has more lawful authority in that building than anybody, including the judge. Okay, you need to understand this. Americans, listen to me, because obviously when the judge is your grand jury subject or target, the panel has authority superior to the judge. See? So once you're impaneled, your grand jury is supposed to be left alone as you plan your investigation goals, as you deliberate on facts and law and charges. And by the way, folks, once you're impaneled on a grand jury, you don't have to have a crime. You can just have the thought, the idea, the fear that a crime is being committed, and you can start that investigation. Now, you don't go out. The members of the grand jury don't go out. You can't show yourself. It's always got to be a secret institution, because obviously if the bad guys know who you are, you can get in big trouble. So you can enlist the staff, the county staff, including, of course, the DA, the prosecutor, to do whatever you need done. Once your panel is sitting, any investigation, any witnesses, any subjects, any targets, any subpoenas you need sent out, you get the staff. And if the staff won't do it, that's where the militia comes in. The militia is supposed to be able to execute those documents, whether it's a warrant or whether it's a subpoena or whatever, when the prosecutor is not cool about it and said, no, I don't think we have a case there. Yeah, well, if it's a public official, a lot of times they all hold hands together. When a public employee in city or county or state palaces or whatever, they all gang up against us. So when you go against one of them, the DA backs off, doesn't want to bring any indictment, So you have to understand, you are the first and last word. I'll put it in the words of Larry Kramer, Dr. Kramer used to be the dean of Stanford Law School, and he wrote a wonderful book called The People Themselves, Popular Constitutionalism and Judicial Review. Fascinating book. Changed my life. And back when he was dean, he wrote, let me just read from the last page, one sentence at the very end, right before the epilogue. Listen to what he says. The Supreme Court is not the highest authority in the land on constitutional law. We are. Okay? And he makes that case in this book. It's so good. Anyway, so you have to understand how important grand jury is. You should want to serve. All right? So once you're on that panel, you can do a lot in your... Now, we have a book that we have reprinted, Tactical Civics reprint, because it had gone out of print. It was the only history of the grand jury extant, and it wasn't extant because it was out of print. We found one, and we got it rebuilt, and so we had Amazon, we rewrote a lot of it. We added a preface and introduction and other stuff, but it's called The People's Panel, The Grand Jury in the United States, 1634 through 1941. So you have 300 years of the people getting her done. And you start reading this book and you go, oh my gosh, we can do that? Every other page you're going, wait, we can do that? Fascinating.
And that concludes another episode of Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum. Join the battle on our website, www.drdansfreedomforum.com. The right to own private property that cannot be arbitrarily confiscated by the government is the moral right and constitutional basis for individual freedom.
Everything gonna be